time for your week daily look at the NBA and your Charlotte Hornets. It's time for the Hive O'Clock Alarm.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Well, Hornets fans, I wish you were waking up to better news. The Hornets do not get the victory over the Cleveland Cavaliers. They slip back down the standings. Didn't last long, David, that third seed. But, yeah, I don't know. There's really not a great but. There's not a really great but there. It's a tight race, and every victory matters, and certainly you can't take moral victories away. Let's do a quick a recap on this one. The Hornets lose to the Cavaliers 112-103. Bad start for the Hornets on defense and on the boards, combined with some continued poor three-point shooting, 3 of 12 from beyond the arc in that first half. The Hornets finally did get physical on defense and make a run at the end of the first half when the starters came back in. Let's go to the second half. Batum not returning to the game after the first half, a left knee strain. We'll get to that in a moment. In the second half, Kemba Walker, 21 points on 6 of 12 shooting, a lot of that in the third quarter, 5 assists, 4 rebounds. He really put the team on his back. Jeremy Lin added 12 points, mostly in the fourth quarter. The Hornets turned 6 Cavaliers turnovers into 14 points, got the deficit all the way down to 4 before J.R. Smith hit one of his 5 threes to get things back on the rails for the Cavaliers. They finished off the Hornets from there. Again, the final score, 112-103. David, it felt like the Hornets lost this game 7 different times, but that also means that they were in this game at different moments, even after that poor start to the game. Anything for listeners to take away from this one?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they made it a game a couple of times, as you mentioned, and they did it without Batum. And I think that's the biggest thing right now is they got to get Batum back and get everyone healthy, because the run they've had has been, you know, a result of a lot of things, some games at home, some games against maybe not the best competition. But even though, I mean, they had a good run and they've been healthy. I mean, that's the biggest thing with this team, that when they're able to utilize all their talent now, they finally got Hawes back as well when the team goes down. But, you know, I think that's the biggest thing for them. But the other thing is, Doug, I mean, you know, they didn't play well. They let the Cavs – I mean, the Cavs shot 55% from 3. And you mentioned J.R. Smith. Every time the Hornets got it down to like 7 or something, he'd hit a big 3 and put it back to double digits. So this is going to be a tough game to win anyway. It's the Cavs. They're still the Cavs. They still have LeBron. They're still the best team in the East. And you're playing at home. So or you're playing them at home. So it was a tough game, but they didn't make it easy. I mean, they didn't go away, and especially without Batum, to come back and make a game of it, get it down to – it was down to 4, right? I mean, it was down to 4 after Courtney Lee's two-pointer and Lynn got fouled. So, I mean, that says a lot. And as far as these standings go, I mean, it's annoying and it's a little disappointing, I guess, to get from 3 to 6. But, hey, all that's all jumbled up together. It's going to be an uphill battle because of all the tiebreakers and whatnot for the Hornets to get back up there. But I think if you're in 3 or 6, you still avoid Cleveland in the second round. And that's getting a little ahead of ourselves. But when you start looking at it, I mean, that's going to be important. And if you're playing the Hawks either way or whomever, I don't think it makes a huge difference. I mean, home court advantage would be nice, but, you know, they're in the playoffs and the goal is to win in advance. So, not a surprising result. You'd like to win, but you know, I don't think you can hang your head too low.
Yeah, without Al Jefferson in the game to start and without Kyrie Irving on the other end, a victory in this game would not have meant all that much in terms of, you know, can Charlotte hang with Cleveland in a possible, you know, Eastern Conference Finals or second round matchup. But certainly them fighting back, this would be a different kind of Hive O'Clock Alarm had they lost a 20-point wire-to-wire game against Cleveland. But you just wonder, David, like, when is the light going to turn on for this Hornets team that they can't come out in the first quarter and play poorly against, you know, they did it against Philly, but you can't do it against Cleveland, and you can't do it at Toronto. That's the next game on Tuesday. You know, when is the light going to turn on? But let's turn to this Nick Batum injury. Again, we didn't know. It was a surprise even to the broadcast team. They were when the second half started, they were looking and counting the players and going, "Hey, wait a minute, where's Nick Batum?" The team coming out and saying it's a knee strain. Now, David, let me preface what I'm about to say with, I'm no doctor, But I did, you know, I've dealt with a few of my own knee injuries, and I've, you know, read up on this and researching injuries. And so the strain has to do with the muscles or the tendons in the knee, and a sprain would be the ligaments, your ACL, MCL. So this is a strain. So it could be a, you know, a patellar tendon swelling issue, or it could be any of the muscles around the knee could have inflamed. I looked back, David, and I didn't see one play where there was a traumatic event. He did have a layup, a run out in transition, and J.R. Smith got into him a little bit, and he landed a little awkwardly and looked, he kind of grimaced after that layup. So I wonder if that may have inflamed something. But, you know, you look back and Jimmy Butler had a knee strain in February, and that kept him out 4 weeks. But there was an event. I mean, he had to be carted off, and he didn't end up having a tear or ligament damage. He just had a strain, but the rehab took weeks. So we just don't know. You have to, we'll wait to hear from the team on the severity. Of course, they'll do an MRI, I'm sure, figure out if there's any ligament damage, if he tore a muscle, and, you know, all of that. The severity of the injury will really indicate to the team how long he'll be out. But it could be Doug McDermott from the Bulls also had a knee strain early in the season, and he was day-to-day. So you just don't know until you get in there and find out. So I wish I had more information for fans, but hopefully that little bit of information will give you an idea of what we're looking at.
Yeah, and I think you just have to keep your fingers crossed, right, if you're a Hornets and Hornets fan.
He's vital. Yeah, I mean, he's vital to any to any sustained success that this team will have in the playoffs. They certainly need him back. And if it is a week's injury, that's at least positive in the sense that, you know, there are several weeks before this playoff race starts. So, you know, if it's 2 weeks, the Hornets could still see him back.
2 weeks.
Yeah. Let's talk about – oh, here's something I want to talk about. A lot of people, when the Hornets got off to that bad start, were pointing to the 3:30 p.m. matinee Sunday start.
You know my feelings on this. You know my feelings on this,
well,
Doug.
Well, let's hear them again.
Oh, that's absolutely why they lost the game, Doug. I mean, it's no question. I do think it does play a part. I mean, a small part. I mean, it's a change in routine. It's a change in the daily walkthroughs and all that stuff. I mean, they're professionals. They should be used to it. They're not going to use it as an excuse. I think it affects it in some way. But, no, it's not like they lost. But
I think, look.
It affects how they start, yeah.
I think it's late in the season. They've had these kind of games before this season, and they know the stakes. The stakes are high. The adrenaline's running. They have stated how high the stakes are and how important each game is. So I just don't – I would buy that in a meaningless game in the middle of the season or the beginning of the season, but not this late. I think you got to go out. Good teams, you can play. I don't care if you're playing at 7 or 7 in the morning. You got to go out there and give it everything you got in the first quarter. I just don't buy it. I'm sorry.
Well, you don't understand routine then.
I understand routine plenty. We do this 5 o'clock alarm. I have a very specific bathroom routine that happens before this 5 o'clock alarm that I won't get into.
Yeah, no, it's not what they lost. It's not what they lost. I was just messing with you, Doug. I'm a believer in that routine though, and then that can mess you up, but nah, you got to come out better than that. You can't give up 29 points in the first quarter. That's got to stop, and the second quarter, and almost the third quarter. So, I mean, there's a pattern there they need to break.
Yeah, and you look at those J.R. Smith 5 3-pointers, and it certainly was a story. I mean, he didn't hit the first one until late in the second quarter, I believe. So, you know, he got a little bit of a late hot streak going. One of his five. That was 5 second-half 3-pointers. So he did hit one there at the end of the second quarter as well. So 6 total, 6 of 9 from beyond the arc. And he's a guy. I mean, he's a heater. You know, he gets on these hot streaks.
Yeah.
And you have to make sure that once he starts to get into a rhythm that you do everything you can to stop him. But it really comes down. I watched the 6 3-pointers, and a lot of it comes down to coverage mistakes that happen because LeBron James is on the court. And, you know, look, credit to the Cavs, David. They were not resting LeBron James. Almost 41 minutes in this game. I don't know why. I mean, they were resting Kyrie, and LeBron had rested in previous games leading up to this one, so maybe they just wanted to get his engine warmed back up again. But he was 14 of 22 from the field. You knew, I said, after we got done with our Sunday hit, David, I said, this feels like one of these games where LeBron's going to go 30-plus, and he definitely did that. But back to J.R. Smith, I mean, I looked at a lot of the coverages, and there were guys that, you know, like Jeremy Lin and Courtney Lee, who had their eyes on LeBron James in the middle of the floor, and that allowed, you know, screens by Mozgov or some kind of off-ball action to happen to get J.R. Smith free. And so, you know, that's just one of those things. LeBron James, he affects more things probably with the ball out of his hands than he does with the ball in his hands. And that's amazing because of what he can do.
31, 12, and 8 for LeBron, a ridiculous line.
Pretty good.
And then Kevin Love, 25 and 27 from J.R. Smith. I mean, that's just the thing. It feels like we've seen that line, some combination of it, from a LeBron James team every time the Hornets play him. And if you go down the box score here, Doug, I mean, the Cavs bench, you know, didn't do much in the way of scoring. So the Hornets bench was a bit better than they were yesterday, in large part, like you said, to Jeremy Lin. But you want to hear a weird stat from this game? The fast break points, 23-6 in favor of the Hornets. So go figure.
Yeah, well, the Hornets, again, in that second half, they were turning the Cavs over and turning them over and being very aggressive in the passing lanes. I mean, they knew by the second half, they finally figured out, hey, this game means something. We've got to turn it up. And guys like Courtney Lee, I mean, I think they had six or so steals in that second half, and a total 15 steals in this game for the Hornets. Let's see, five of those by Cody Zeller. And Courtney Lee added three. Kemba Walker added four. So, you know, they were getting into passing lanes, being aggressive on defense, especially in that second half. And there were situations where it was an easy bucket on the other end, and that's how they got back into this game. But, you know, again, LeBron James affects a lot of things, but there were breakdowns in the coverage and things that they definitely have to look at, because you're going, you know, in the playoffs, you're going to face, you know, that same level of talent night after night, and you have to be able to overcome it. So hopefully the Hornets can get Nick Batum back. Hopefully they can get Al Jefferson back into this thing relatively quickly and get you know, ready for the playoffs. But they have another game coming up against Toronto on Tuesday, so...
A big one on the road. I think it was probably frustrating to see LeBron get a couple of easy buckets down at the end of that game. You know, he got freed up on a couple of screen and rolls. So it's like, how do you lose LeBron? But, I mean, that's what those players were designed to do. And so those breakdowns didn't exactly stop, but they definitely did a better job as the game went on. Unfortunately, you know, you like to think if you have Batum, you can maybe get another 20-point score to match their three and get you a little closer. But, you know, I think Steve Clifford and those guys know they can't start the game that way. I mean, that's the overall theme, as you've mentioned. You can't go out there and do that against anyone in the NBA, much, much less LeBron and the Cavs. So hopefully one they can learn from and just keep in their back pocket to, you know, another tough game in Toronto. So nothing's going to be easy down the stretch here.
If Nick Batum is out on Tuesday, I would expect the Hornets to start Jeremy Lin at the two guard position and go small there. But if Al Jefferson continues to be out, then definitely going to get a lot more Spencer Hawes. And they recalled Aaron Harrison from the D League, so he'll be available as well. We're going to be available.
He's really that commute from.
I'm telling you, a lot of road snacks.
Yeah, really.
So Aaron Harrison's back. If you want to, we talked about him on Thursday and his trials and tribulations in the D League. So go back and listen to that show if you want to hear more about Aaron Harrison and his preparation to get back into NBA action. And definitely mark your calendars tomorrow night, 6:00 p.m. HiveTalkLive.com. Our show is going to be pretty amazing. We talked to Jonathan Abrams, author of the book Boys Among Men. It's all about the 10-year period between 1995 and 2005, where we saw a glut of high schoolers entering the NBA. It's a great book. It was a great interview. And we also talked to a few of the Hornets players about whether or not there should be an age limit and the prep to pro transition. So look forward to that. And we'll be back on the mic tomorrow morning with more information, hopefully with an update on Nicholas Batum's condition. Thanks so much for listening. Until then, all hail the teal and purple.